Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It goes. Are you going?
I'm going. Yeah, sure. How's your daylight? Are you saving it?
It's so saved. I've banked my daylight,
It's a
I
good.
guess. Yeah.
Is this the good one or the one that people complain about? Like, I'm always tired or whatever.
Well, yes, this is the tired one. However, the good news is it's brighter longer. So,
Sure.
yeah.
So there's more sun to wake you up. I don't know.
No, actually, just before the daylight savings time change happens, there's a lot more sun early in the morning than there is, 'cause that's how the switch works. You're moving it
Right.
down. You know, to take
So
advantage of that extra time.
it's easier to sleep in, you're saying, because it's dark in the morning when it should be dark.
Yeah, except not really dark, really, and it changes. And so, because the sun and the earth, they're moving, and they're at angles and things, and it changes the stuff over time. And so, just sort of like loosely clunking the hour. It does not really like pair exactly with what's happening in terms of the actual daylight.
I hate a loosely clunked hour or whatever.
I mean, I just don't know what else to say about it. I don't get as wound up as other people do about it. I think when I was a kid, I hated it more because you're like, I'm losing this hour. But then in the fall, you're just like, yay, I got an hour. Look at me with my extra hour. Because give and you take. Benjamin Franklin, he gave and he take. But it's just one of those situations where it's just like, eh. I mean, I can't get that worked up about it. I got bigger fish to fry. Just
Well, this
there's bigger
year,
problems.
I think at least I saw on the internet, it seemed like there's a bit pretty big push to for the cancel culture to cancel daylight savings.
Yeah, I mean, I just I don't know.
I can't tell what they're talking about when they say cancel it or make it permanent. I'm like, is one which one would be permanent, the forward or the backward, or I can't tell.
See, this is the thing that I also can't tell whenever anybody talks about it. They
Because
seem
they have different
mostly.
names, right? Like, it's daylight saving starts and daylight savings ends. It's not just like, daylight savings change.
Because see, I'm right now, not you. You're in Phoenix time, so you're, doing whatever. But over here, as a matter of fact, when I was trying to like figure out what time I'm telling other people in the world when this is, because people get picky. If I say PST and it's PDT, people, lose it.
Wait, what's the difference between those?
Pacific Standard Time, Pacific Daylight Savings Time.
Oh, well, that's stupid. It's the same time zone.
Well, but see, that's the thing. It's just like, I would just like to say, I'm in Los Angeles. What time is it in Los Angeles? Just do that. Like,
See, I
but
can never
yeah.
tell when writing email. Sometimes I just write PT for Pacific time. Other times, like, somebody else will write PST. So when I reply, I'll be like, yeah, sure, PST, whatever. I don't know. I didn't realize until I was today years old when I learned that those were different things. That's how the kids talk these days.
Yeah, TIL.
No, that one's old.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't do
sorry.
that one
This
anymore.
is for the elder kids. Speaking of elder kids, let's talk about something that swept the world by storm in the mid to late 90s, which is Pokemon. I don't know. I missed the Pokemon train. As a elder millennial, and a sibling who was into it, but I personally have nothing invested in this at all.
Similarly, like you, I missed this entirely. I think I thought it was for people like 10 years younger. I really honestly don't know what generation I thought Pokemon was for. There are some people who are very near to my and sort of your age who are into it, I think, but I don't know anything about. We're perfectly qualified to talk about this movie because I don't know jack crap about this franchise aside from what has sort of seeped into my brain like fifth hand through whatever various other media outlets and such. Amanda was never into it. She said her brother, who is, I should know this, 2 or 3 years younger, he was into it. He had stuff. Was it a card game? I don't remember. Was it a card game? It was a video game.
It was a video game.
It's a video game. Okay.
You can't pretend to be this dense.
No, but were there cards? Was it like a Magic the Gathering? Did they have cards?
No, I think that they, I want to say that at some point after the video game success, they just released like any other spinoff thing that they could. And I think there was a spinoff like card game thing, but it wasn't, that's not truly what people are talking about when they're talking about Pokemon. They're talking about the Nintendo video game.
When you got to catch them all, what was the thing for the kids to go catch? Like, what was the merch that they were going to go catch? Like, Mom, I need you to buy me the thing because I need to catch them all.
The thing to buy was the Pokemon game, and then you'd catch all the Pokemon in the Pokemon game.
Well, that's silly. They need to have like cards or Beanie Babies or whatever, so you can go buy them all, so you can go back to that store.
But Dan, they had
repeat shoppers.
No, Dan, they had different versions of the game that were released, which would have different Pokemon in them. So there was like Pokemon Green and Pokemon Blue and Pokemon Chartreuse and all this other stuff. And so,
right, you couldn't just do like an over the air update because this was the before times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so people would go out and they would buy these things, or more accurately, they would request their parents to purchase these things for them, especially around Christmas time. And then they would play it, and their friends would have something else that was slightly different, and they'd want the thing that their friends had, and they'd, you know, get the other ones and whatever. And they kept releasing all of these Pokemon game things for a long time. And then, you know, a couple years ago, you had the augmented reality craze that was Pokemon Go.
Right.
I played because everyone wouldn't shut up about it.
You did not.
Yeah, because Jason was playing
it. I can't shame you into making a Voodle or a TikTok account, but you were shamed into playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, everybody was doing it. No one is doing Voodle.
I have never downloaded. I have never had the inclination to look at Pokemon games on my phone or anywhere else. But you played the Go. Did you catch them all? How many did you catch?
I don't know. I mean... It was real easy to lose interest in playing that at all, is all I'm going to say about my feelings towards that game, because it was bad. It was buggy. It was weird. It was stupid to just like walk around and then like try to like have a thing that would be all glitched out. You'd burn up your battery. It was a really awful thing. And there were people who were really into it, and bless their little pokey hearts. But I can't do that as an adult at all. And I think you can tell that the game's popularity waned because you'd see fewer generation
Zers wandering the side of the road.
Yeah, because that was the thing for a while. Like you could just tell people were playing the game because they'd be walking around like little zombies with their you know iPhone out in front of them, just like waving it around like nonsensically, and then going and walking in circles until something showed up. So, like, you could very easily tell if somebody was playing the game in, like, public parks or on the side of the road or whatever. And sometimes they'd do it in these little, like, clusters, and you'd be like, wow, look, it's like a horde of zombies, but they're all playing an augmented reality game about collecting tiny little digital monster things.
Yeah, you collect them and then they fight, right?
Yes. Well, but, see, that was the thing that was different from the Pokemon Go versus the actual game. The ones that you'd collect in the game, you could pit against other ones that you were trying to catch. And then you basically like weaken them into submission and then capture them. A mechanic absent from the film. there's a lot more consent that is implied in Pokemon.
Yeah, two-way consent in that opening scene with the little dinosaur head guy.
Yeah, Cubone or whatever. I don't know. But
sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, I don't know. I never got into it, I can't really get into it. Although I have to admit, like, you look at Pikachu and it's like, well, it's adorable. Like,
yeah,
Pikachu like just is designed to be perfectly cute and adorable, and you'd want to have one.
Especially if it sounded like Ryan Reynolds.
Well, sort of.
You don't want Ryan Reynolds hanging out in your living room quipping at you?
He's a little mouthy. He's, he's a little surly to have around. Also, you go through a lot of coffee with him. But I could tolerate the slightly higher pitched normal speaking voice of Pikachu. It's just adorable. I don't feel the same way about any of the other Pokemon. They're all weird, and they're all weird in this movie. And I found them strange. And every time you come across one, you'd be like, how do they all exist together cumulatively at all? It doesn't seemingly make any sense. But it didn't really matter because this movie doesn't care about that sort of thing. It's just like, yeah, this is the world that happens. And it's because of this, and they're there. And that's it.
Yeah.
The end.
This movie's taken a lot of things for granted that with us as an audience, it should not be assuming.
Well, I know you were very negative about Detective Pikachu.
I wasn't that negative. I mean, it's fine. I don't give a crap about it, but I agree that Pikachu was cute.
Yeah. I thought this movie was okay. I think this movie is actively bad whenever it is trying to do the plot twists.
You mean how the good guy is also the bad guy, but because he's trying to be good, but then he's also bad?
At the very beginning of this movie, there is an exposition tram thing, which in and of itself is just inexcusable. But that intro video about what Rhyme City is and how it got started, and it features Bill Nighy, it was just like, well, Bill Nighy is the villain in this movie. And I suppose if you were like 10 years old, you wouldn't have the breadth of knowledge that I have that Bill Nighy was going to be the villain in this picture. You may be a little more surprised by the twists and turns of this plot, but
you'd just be watching and going like, yes, that is why Rhyme City exists. Thank you for confirming to me that you have the same level of knowledge that I have as the viewer.
Yeah, well, but like, if it had been like David Warner or something, it'd be like, yeah, so David Warner's the villain. Like, my point is, the casting didn't do them any favors in terms of the trying to pull off this sham of the good guy is the bad
the
guy
tram
is
sham.
The good guy. Yeah, the tram sham.
Are you saying Bill Nighy can never be the like secret good guy?
I mean, he has played a good guy in the past. But the way this was set up, like, no matter who you cast in that role, it would have to be either a virtual unknown or it'd have to be somebody who almost exclusively, entirely plays good guys. But if it is someone who has played a villain more often than not, I think it is a mistake to cast them in that role, unless it's supposed to be about whether or not they're a villain. But that's not what this movie is. This movie is, this guy is good. Oh no, he's bad! And so you want to have him actually seem like he's a good person the entire time and not somebody who is Bill Nighy, who you're just like, yeah, he's the bad guy. Immediately.
I don't prejudge Bill Nighy. I don't know about you.
When did you suspect that Bill Nighy was not on the up and up?
When he had a floor that opened when he had a pretty bad guy loft, although he created the city, so I guess like he could just like take the cool loft area with the glowy, I don't know what his little thing was there that was hanging out with him, but that was kind of a bad guy baller loft that he was living in there. But then when the floor opened and then the floaty guy with the tail came out and he had the head thing on, that pretty much cinched the deal right there.
So The twist worked until the twist happened, basically.
I don't know. I realize I've seen parts of this movie before, so I don't remember when, what parts of what twists worked or what didn't work.
That was like the very end of the movie, Dan. I
did remember the big final twist about Pikachu's identity, but I forgot that they do the reversal thing at the end there, and that Ryan Reynolds is really in the movie. Spoiler alert.
No, well, see, but That I also predicted while I was watching it, not as early as the Bill Nighy thing, because I was
really, you predicted that like the human Ryan Reynolds was going to pop out.
Yes, because they pointedly don't show the father in the flashbacks, and there's so much talk about how the father must have survived the crash if Pikachu survived the crash, and that, you know, the father would be very proud if he were there and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you guys are laying it on thick. And the mystery, you know, just at some point I was just like, okay, so somehow, I don't know how, Ryan Reynolds was turned into this Pikachu and Ryan Reynolds is the father. And it turns out I was correct. And I would never have guessed the methodology or the reasons or the rationale behind why he was turned into it. Like, I don't think anybody could like predict that from any source. But yeah, so this movie has these just awful mysteries which need to unfold through these flashbacks, holograms, other little weird cliche exposition bits that need to come along at just the right time for the story to do the thing that it's trying to do. And it's really convoluted and contrived, and it's irksome to me. I don't like when it does that. I don't like when it's trying to like put a little spin on it by being like, well, it turns out that this the thing that was part of the flashback that was being downloaded before the Mewtwo was abducted, what he was really saying was less incriminating than what you think it is, because we had to cut him off right then with only those words that he selected to use in order to make it seem like he was actually bad, and then to, you know, further complicate the thing further. And it's just like, no, you could tell he was not actually bad, and that's not actually what was happening. And it was, it really just, it bugged me, because it was just like, okay, I mean, I guess if I was like 12, that this would be like mind blowing what was happening here. But it's just bothersome when it is so contrived, like forced into this structure in this way, where it needs to have like a twisty turns out like, oh, it was really this all along, and oh, it was really this all along, like over and over and over again, in order to propel the story forwards.
Yeah.
Just, it's just like, yeah, I don't personally need that. Like, if you had given me more of the movie where they're just like going around and solving things or being like little detectives, like that would have been more interesting to me than the reveals of like, oh, this is actually what was really happening, because there was a secret memory that nobody knew about until now. Like that's the part that I just don't need that.
Mm-hmm. So in that vein, can I recite back to you what I think happened in this movie, and you can tell me if I understood it properly or not?
You can.
You do not want me to?
No, I have a feeling that you're going to be unfair. Because
no,
I can,
I'm just trying to clarify to make sure that I like how you're defending Pikachu so hard, and you had no quibbles crapping all over Sonic.
Well, I don't know. This was.
If you tell me you like this movie better than Sonic, I'm hanging up right now.
I think they're bad in different ways. And good in different ways.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah. Like, Pikachu over Sonic any day of the week. Way cuter, you know, way more interesting to watch on screen, way more appeal as a character.
Well, okay, so Ryan Reynolds versus Ben Schwartz, though.
Ryan Reynolds? Like, sorry, Ben, but you're not Ryan Reynolds. None of us really are, except Ryan Reynolds. And maybe Ryan Gosling, who sometimes gets confused for him for some reason, but
doesn't make any sense.
that's basically that's what we got to work with here.
All right. Anyway, so Bill Nighy started the city where there can be fun and equality, where people and Pikachus and Pokemons can live together in harmony and stuff.
How exactly did he do that? Where he like, because if you look at the city, there are like brick buildings and like things that were supposed to be there a long time ago and things that seem to be like built in the 70s. And it's just like, when did he build the city?
I don't know. Did he just like make sure he like found an abandoned city that had like a reasonable amount of park space or something for like the outdoorsy Pokemons to like hang out in or something?
I don't know. It was left out of the needlessly expository video. The one thing I would want to know, how does one person make a city? Like, how do you just whip that one out? I have created a city.
He created just like a hippie commune where it's like, hey, it's all good, free love with Pokemons and stuff.
But
and
it's not it's weirdly not a hippie commune. It's like, I've made Hong Kong or I've made New York. And it's just like, okay, but how? Like, and how are you like governing this thing? How does this work? There's a mayor who shows up at one part at the end of this, and it's just like, does the mayor like decide all this? Because there are all these rules, like there are no Pokemon fights or whatever inside the city limits. And it's like, okay, who enforces all this stuff?
Yeah, like, he's like, I have made a city where it is allowable for Pokemon to live as well. And everyone else is like, well, yeah, that's fine here too, because they just, they exist. So it's like going out into the middle of nowhere and building a city and be like, I have built a city where pigeons may flock and humans can live in harmony. It's like, well, that was already legal, so it's okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's just like, I don't know how someone assembles the necessary capital and the jurisdiction and land and everything in order to make this thing happen. But apparently he's just that wealthy, which is an argument, I think, against the ultra wealthy and the trillionaires and billionaires of the world.
Because they'll just like, they'll go out on their own and make like a weird city where you can live with animals.
Yeah, I mean, if Elon Musk could, he would absolutely take over the brain of another creature.
Oh, sure, totally.
No question about it.
Especially like a stronger one that can fly around and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He'd be like, I made this. I invented this creature.
But would he also like dig out the remains of an ancient alien being and then like clone it just so then he has something strong to like put his brain thing in?
Well, this, according to this movie in the weird clipped dialogue about the origins of Mewtwo, Mewtwo is an abomination who was made in a lab by somebody else, not Bill Nighy,
right.
And is the result of tampering with the genetic code of the ancient Pokemon called Mew, and that's why this is Mewtwo. And
right.
So it's just like, okay, well, I mean...
So Elon Musk didn't like put his brain in like a gorilla to be super strong. Elon Musk invented Jurassic Park and then made a T-Rex so he could put his brain in a T-Rex.
Yes. Yeah, he put his
sure, cool,
he put his right. brain into the, what was it, the Indoraptor or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you imagine BD Wong wearing the little helmet thing and like controlling the Indoraptor, like jumping around eating people?
Oh, that would have been more entertaining. Yeah.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's got to be associated with the lab or whatever that was experimenting, because this is his dream to like, well, he's sick or whatever and he's dying and he can't walk. We're not really sure why he's stuck in a wheelchair or whatever. But in trying to study the Pokemon who, I guess, evolve or something better than humans or whatever, he tries to use Pokemon technology to help evolve himself into a better thing. But he realizes he can't do that, so he might as well just like put his brain in one of them.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So he wanted to fix himself with Pokemon technology or DNA, but that turned out to not be possible. So he did the next best thing and just like Wi-Fi controlled the brain of a recreated special alien Pokemon thing.
It really didn't seem like this was. It didn't seem possible that this would necessarily work out well for him as far as like bad guy schemes go.
No, it's not the quickest A to B to C. Like, I mean, if he's got a neural link, like, just put it on the head of a guy that can walk or something. I don't know. I mean,
well, but with the link thing, you're still at the mercy of, you have a body, what your brain is
Avatar.
Actually in. Yeah, and that brain is going to like your that body and that brain will eventually die, just like they will with the Mewtwo. I don't know what his. The movie doesn't say what his illness is like, but at some point, regardless of the illness, that body will cease to be. He will be, you know, a former, you know, Rupert Murdoch knockoff character.
He will be a parrot no more. But but Mewtwo has the ability to side plot. There's purple powder that makes all the Pokemon super angry. But when the Pokemon are super angry, only when they're angry, then Mewtwo can use his holographic hoof powers or whatever to combine people and Pokemon permanently. So your body just poofs into dust like War of the Worlds, but then your brain goes in the Pokemon. So theoretically, like, Mewtwo's gonna like dose himself with the purple stuff and then like zap himself so Bill Nighy goes permanently inside of him or something like that.
But that's I don't know how that would function, because
I mean, his plan went from like, I want a stronger body again to we can all be Pokemons.
And I have to say that, unfortunately, while I called the twist of this parade being awful, like the bad guy's plot is going to be this parade, because they keep talking about this parade with all the Pokemon and the people there for this Pokemon Day parade, and it's like, well, what a convenient place to have your climax occur. And they have this drug that they reveal that causes everyone to lose, that causes the Pokemon to lose their minds and go sort of like feral, and attack everything. And it's like, well, do you want me to guess what the parade balloons are filled with? But at the same time,
yeah, I've seen Batman. Come on,
yeah, it's just like it took the people in the movie so long to kind of like come up with these conclusions that was going to be happening, but. I mean, the twist that I didn't see coming, because it was impossible to see coming, is that he was going to use the fact that all the Pokemon were angry in order to fuse the people into their Pokemon partners. Yeah.
Once they're raging on the purple spray, all you got to do is telepathically blast some waves at them, and then people become one with their Pokemon. Like, was it like a proximity thing? Does it have to be the dual consent thing? Like, if you're like a little closer to somebody else's Pokemon than your own, like, are you going to mind meld with them instead?
Yeah. Like, what happens if you're on the toilet when this is going on? And
go on.
Yeah, I mean, you're just sitting there, Mewtwo's flying around, zapping everybody. Do you get zapped and you don't have a Pokemon with you? Do you just dissolve into nothingness and you're dead? Mm. Or, like, are you unaffected because you had no other Pokemon there to join with? Like, What actually is the like thing that would happen? Because we don't understand this mechanic, because the movie just invents it out of nowhere in order for this thing to happen. And then as soon as it happened, when he's like, I will fuse everyone together, it was like, oh, well, I figured out what happened to the dad. He's inside this Pikachu, and then we're going to have some reason why we need to get him out later. And again,
right.
that's technically what happens. But
Mewtwo has this ability. But he can only merge people in rage Pokemon, but he merged Pikachu and Ryan Reynolds, despite the fact that he wasn't on the rage powder, just because Pikachu was like, what is the words he used, which is creepy, is he's offering his body so your mind can live.
Yeah.
That's, I don't want anything to offer their body to me.
No, it's especially not just like the adorable little Pikachu. That's just weird.
Yeah. No, I'm married. Thank you.
Yeah, but the part that just like really set me over the edge was when the explanation finally comes of, because at the same time I knew that they were going to get the father back.
Oh right, yeah,
from this process
that part too.
And I was just like, how are they going to justify doing that? Because Mewtwo just waves his hand and then undoes everything that Bill Nighy does in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just like if it's just like, you know, this Deus Ex Mutina, like where does that come into play? Like how does, why couldn't he have done that like with the car crash or whatever? And like, if he can heal an almost dead Pikachu, why couldn't he heal the father? But the explanation,
the body was too far gone. So what he needed was the mind in Pikachu temporarily. And then he needed some extra DNA bits from the sun so he could, you know, combine the two and insert, you know, some frog DNA where there might be some holes. And then you got a Pikachu, you do a diff between the sun and the Pikachu. And then suddenly you got Ryan Reynolds.
I was so mad. I was just like, this is nonsense. This is just like a bunch of BS that you're just like stringing together in order to justify how you were able to do this other convoluted stuff throughout the entire course of the film, because there is no requirement that DNA be present to reconstruct these people from non-existence. It's not like their bodies were just lying there when this happens.
That would be even creepier.
Yeah. In some ways, I think that would be better, because this movie shies away from actually doing anything that's really that creepy or weird for the most part. And it's an odd choice, because these are very strange circumstances and very strange creatures with bizarre powers and abilities. And the movie is just kind of like, well, no, we have this one magic flying thing, and it's going to cause all the problems and fix everything just with the wave of its hand, and you don't need to worry about any of this stuff. And it's just like... Could you have some consequences to this? Like,
no, there's no consequence. That one line earlier in the movie where somebody says, like, we're looking at the most powerful Pokemon in the entire world. Like, that line is doing a lot for this movie. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what the scope of Pokemon power is, apparently.
No. Well, this movie also fails to set any sort of expectations on what Pokemon power is, because...
I mean, you got dragons that shoot fire. You got a Pikachu that can occasionally shoot some lightning. You got a little thing with a skull and its head that'll just, like, I don't know, like, hit you with a femur bone or whatever. So that's kind of, like, the range of stuff that I assumed.
And Psyduck, who, you know...
Oh, check sure. Up. Psyduck, who is that X-Men who makes EMPs or whatever.
Yeah, he's Chekhov's EMP. They talk about his psychic headache explosion for so much of the time in the movie, and then he finally does it one time.
I know when I have a headache that's really bad, it causes me to explode and shut down electrical fields around me.
I mean, it'd be nice. It'd be a way to get out of work. It's just one of those things where it's just like, we don't really have clear bounds on a lot of this stuff or what it means in the context of things. And, you know, so sure, people have pokey partners that they're with, like, I guess as familiars, basically. Like, we're in, I forget the name of the book series, the
Twilight.
Dark Materials or whatever. Where, you know, people have, like, a magical little familiar who's, like, bound to them. And it seems like they're sort of implying that.
Oh, is it like here, a fairy godmother?
No. Just like a monkey or a polar bear or whatever. And it's, like, bound to you. And you have the connection with the thing. And so with this stuff, it's just, like, it seems like they're implying there's some sort of connection and there's some sort of abilities, you know, stemming from this connection or whatever. But it really doesn't pan out and mean anything. And like the dog thing that Ken Watanabe has, also, I've never seen Ken Watanabe be so wasted in a role before, I guess. Like, what was happening here? Why did he even take this part? This is terrible for him.
He didn't even say let them fight.
No, he's like, oh, I know your father. And like, it was just like, I'm sorry, you have this amazing actor in your movie and you're gonna, that's it? That's all you're gonna do with him?
turn him into a purple puppy dog thing with a weird underbite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all they got. And then,
I mean, that was probably, you know, day of shooting for him, so it's paycheck.
2 days. I mean, they probably shot all the stuff in the office in one day and they shot the parade the other day.
Yeah, it's probably a little unrealistic to do the parade on the same day as the interiors.
Yeah, but what a strange choice. So we have all these Pokemon that we don't really know how anything really works, and the one Pokemon that seems to be the most powerful can just do seemingly anything except a couple of things that the movie needs it not to do in order for the movie to exist.
Yeah, he can't save people unless he first transfers the brain into a Pokemon and then recreates the body from scratch. It's like that... The game with the pyramid game with the rings where you got the three posts and the different sized ones where you got to move them around so then you can make the stack of the in the right order, the wide one and then all the way up to the small one at the top. You know,
I think I know what you're talking about. It was like golf tees that would go in a wood board. about the same thing?
No, you're talking about the thing that they have on the table, a Cracker Barrel.
Also sometimes at IHOP.
Pyramid game.
Well, they used to anyway. I don't think they
What's
see
this?
That.
Not Pyramid Solitaire. Somebody in the chat tell me what the game I'm talking about is. Oh, Towers of Hanoi. Thank you, TM. Oh. Yeah, it's where you got like three stacks of stuff and you got to put the big ones on the bottom and the small ones on top, but you can't put the big ones on the small ones, so you got to move them. Anyway, same stupid thing. Yeah, anyway. So that's how Mewtwo, you know, can fix dying humans. Wouldn't it be funny, though, like, if Ryan Reynolds was just, like, kind of burned and mutilated and turned into Deadpool or something?
No, I mean, what I thought would be a more compelling thing, but then I realized this movie's not going to do it because they don't have the courage or the fortitude to do it, is that you would have the Pikachu continue to be Ryan Reynolds as the father, just with memories.
Yeah, see, I for a minute I thought that's what they were gonna do, because again I didn't remember that Meat Space Ryan Reynolds came back. I was like, oh, he'll be like, no, don't restore my father, because you'll by some fake logic erase the memories. My father will be back, but he will have lost all of his memories of his previous life, and I don't want that. So let the Pikachu be my dad and have my memories, but that doesn't make sense because he's also got amnesia because you amnesia'd him or something.
Yeah,
Mewtwo is the cause of the amnesia too. Like, he could have fixed all of this.
I don't understand. They don't even bother to explain why the amnesia was necessary.
No, he's just got that line there. He's like, he will save your brain while your body dies. You won't remember anything, but your heart will still guide you. It's like, what? You're not transferring his heart. You're transferring the brain stuff. Yeah.
But he, you know, he got his Katra, everything that is not of the body. So he's...
Is that a Star Trek?
Yes. Yes, Dan.
Oh, also, he transferred the brain into the Pikachu while the body died. What part of that makes it so that the human can understand the Pokemon?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's like some sort of weird compression technology that he's using on all the memories and stuff. Like, that's why they can't necessarily put everything in there all at the same time, and it's sort of like changing things, because theoretically you still have the Pikachu's brain full of the Pikachu's memories and experiences and thoughts and personality and stuff that gets shoved over to the side in order to squeeze in Ryan Reynolds stuff from Ryan Reynolds' seemingly larger brain, shove it all into the same place. So maybe that's why some of the stuff is inaccessible, because it's just like in a zip file in there somewhere. Like a .tar.
Oh, you're saying so? Like, he put Ryan Reynolds in the Pikachu as like a .gz, but it only has the ability to unzip a .zip. But then, like, once he pulls it back out and he does the switcheroo, the three card Monty back into the human body.
Yeah, yeah. Once he gets his stuff at Expander, then he can, you know, sort it all out at the end.
This is why the App Store is destroying developers.
It could be worse. We could be talking about like WinZip shareware, but what if you charge them at the end of it?
Yeah, he's like, I will bring your father back in his regular body, but first you've got to pay $19.99. You've got to buy a WinZip license.
Oh, man. Yeah. What was the other one with a 7 in it? I can't remember the name of that one. It was basically WinZip, but it had a 7 in the name of it. It's not important to this conversation.
I'm sure that's something else that TM can answer for us in the chat. Yeah. I don't remember that one.
But the ridiculous thing with all this stuff, like, you brought up, like, the being able to speak and understand the sun. Why does that limitation exist? Because they seem to sort of initially imply that it's because the sun inhaled the purple stuff that he's able to understand only Pikachu. But
what? Wait, when did they imply that?
When Justice Smith first gets to the apartment and opens up the R vial and then takes a big old whiff of that.
Oh yeah,
he
doses himself there with the purple, but I didn't realize that that was the reason he could understand the Pikachu.
Well,
I thought it was because they had some sort of deep intimate soul connection.
Well, no, but he throws out that as like a possible reason why, because it seems to only be the two of them. And he was like the first Pokemon that he talked to after his exposure to that. You know, like, I guess a baby duck or something. And so he like bonded with him, I guess, maybe. I don't know how it's supposed to work, like, according to that theory, but it turns out maybe it was just something that Mewtwo did to other wise further complicate things for no reason, where no one could understand the Pikachu that can't remember anything except for the son who needs him. Like,
yeah, because they hit the I'm sorry I abandoned you when you needed me most thing twice, both, you know, in the flashback of the kid and also with Pikachu, his refusal of the Pika call or whatever. Oh, by the way, both Justin and TM in the chat said it was called 7-Zip, and then it was apparently so infuriating that Austin logged in just to write 7-Zip. So, anyway, you were correct. It's a zip program that has a 7 in it. It's called 7-Zip.
See, I knew it was a 7. I even had the number right.
7-Zip. Sounds like a 7-Up. Did you drink 7-Up when you were a kid?
I liked the, I don't remember the name of the dot character.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you remember the dot? It was just like the little red guy with like sunglasses and arms or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he even had a video game that was like on the Amiga and like Apple or something, Apple II or something. But yeah, I liked the mascot of it all. But I had no real investment in 7-Up versus Sprite as a child. Did you have any strong feelings about those two?
Oh, I enjoyed the 7-Up dot guy. I thought their commercials were good. Apparently, his name was Cool Spot, or simply Spot.
Wow, what a clever name.
He first appeared in 1987.
Well, that would explain why he's so striking in my memory as a very 1980s-looking character.
The game was on Sega, and it was called 7-Up Cool Spot.
Oh,
I guess it was also on SNES.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was an Amiga version of that game. I think my grandfather had it on a floppy disk or something.
7-Up dot game. I played a lot of Commander Keen on my 486 back in the day. Nobody really remembers that game.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It was stupid. It was a very stupid game. It was on a 5 1/4 disk.
Oh, good ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I had Oregon Trail and I had Commander Keen, which was terrible. And Oregon. I had some other ones. I don't remember.
Yeah, in our computer lab, which was full of Apple IIGSs, we would play Oregon Trail, Where in the World Carmen San Diego, and there was some sort of fish game that I can't remember, where you're really fishing.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah, and then sometimes it'd be like an Osprey and you'd be screwed. But I don't remember any real other thing about that. And then we would have Logo, which was the thing where you could draw with, I think they called it Turtle, the little triangle on the screen that you could move around by typing in like directions for it to go. And so you could sort of like use that like kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch basically to draw on the screen. And that was ostensibly educational. But my favorite was, of course, to play Carmen Sandiego and then take the almanac or something that was in the back of the classroom, and we would just cheat by looking up everything. That was a question.
You cheated at Carmen Sandiego?
Well, I mean,
like the stakes were so high, you really wanted to win?
No, but we were like 9. Like, who really knows like any of the things they're really asking? That you're kind of expected to look it up, I think, in order to
Did you cheat at Mavis
stuff.
Beacon Teaches Typing too?
No, I never played Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing.
Oh, how dare you? Where did you learn to type then? Who taught you to type?
AOL Instant Messenger.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, you had to type.
Did you
fast.
Not live the shame of having computer lab in middle school where they tape like half of a manila folder over the keyboard so you can't see what you're doing and typing?
No.
You can't look at your hands. You gotta learn how to type.
Seems weirdly sadistic, but
yeah, it was back when the computer, the actual CPU boxes were horizontal, so they would tape like half of a manila folder to that, so it would kind of hover out over the keyboard and type.
Man, I miss pizza box computers, as they were called.
I'm sure it got thrown away a long time ago, but R486 was the horizontal style box with the 5 1/4 disc. I wish that it was still around because it had Windows 3.1 on it and it was just slow as crap, but I would totally fire that bad boy up now.
Yeah, you know, play some
pop into
solitaire.
File manager, open up that I brought this up before but I forget it, the digital magazine about like popular music in the 90s. It was on a CD. Anyway. Technology. Anyway, yeah. Pokemons and stuff.
Yeah. So, I think you were summarizing the movie. We got as far as saying all these powers and things that the Pokemon don't really make any sense and the city doesn't make any sense. And this kid is showing up there in order to investigate the reason why this to put his father to rest from the murder that may have happened that we saw at the beginning but was supposed to be a car accident.
Yeah Sure. Then of course you get the like multiple security camera angles so you can see like, oh, here's the car crash, oh, here's the car crash but Mewtwo is there, here's the car crash but also it was the other things that look like Mews but aren't those, they have different powers that they fight also.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Greninjas. Yeah. Which throw Greninja stars, apparently.
Did they think they needed this many interwoven plot line twisty turny thingies to keep the attention of the small children, or did they really just like not have a thought about how to create a cohesive competent story out of this movie here, and they're just like, yeah, he's a benevolent guy who makes a city, but also he's experimenting on them to see if he can learn the secrets of their DNA so he can fix himself, but he can't fix himself, so he makes a really powerful ancient one, but then also puts his mind in it, but then, like, you know, it moves the mind of other people into the things, which it, I don't know why you didn't do to yourself, but you're doing to everybody else, but then maybe he can do it to himself later, but then he's thwarted because he forgets the first rule of Avatar Fight Club, which is always protect the body that has the neural link on it.
Yeah. Now it's...
And then, yeah, with a snap of the fingers, you can, like, you know, just like Avengers, you can erase half the people and leave the Pokemons, or you can put them all back.
Yeah, no consequences at all. Everything's perfect.
No.
But,
who needs consequences when you got an Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah, well, and the... Well, like I said, you know, Deus Ex Mutuna. But the thing with, you know, I think you're hitting on something where they were trying to keep the attention of people, but it seems like they were trying to keep the attention of the producers in the studio, because there's an awful lot of people with story by and screenplay by credits on this movie. A lot.
Like, I didn't even look at that. How many?
Yeah, well, there's three people who worked on the story who have story by credits.
Oh, and, my.
Two of them have screenplay by credits, but not the third one. And then there is the director of the film and some other person who also have a screenplay by credit. So that's a lot of cooks in the Poke Kitchen, as it were. And it's a sort of no wonder that things are... there was a review I read which said compartmentalized. I think that's a good way to say it, where you sort of feel like you're switching gears every time something happens in the pacing and the scenes of the movie, where it's just like, yeah, this construct of writing needs to be here in order for this thing to happen. And then it seems like maybe that was handed off to somebody else, and then somebody else rewrote that scene.
This would have worked really well as three seasons of a TV show on Disney Plus.
I don't think there is enough there to do that.
You don't think there's three seasons worth of stuff here? You've clearly never watched Dragon Ball Z.
I have watched Dragon Ball Z, sir. This is my final form, sir. It's just one of those ridiculous things where it's just like, they can't pull off these mysteries and teasing these twisty turns outs for a year, because they couldn't really do it for a movie. So I don't think it could really stand up to that level of scrutiny. If they had more time, maybe they could tell a different story, which, you know, has more time to like set up some of the mechanics of why stuff is happening. But you couldn't tell literally this story over the course of a TV series, because it would just be so thin that there'd just be nothing holding it together. Because,
well, you'd have to fill in here and there. Like, the first season can be like the dad disappears or whatever, and him and Pikachu get acquainted and begin investigating this underground ring of, you know, purple smoke, whatever. And then, you know, your cliffhanger can be that the dad's still alive or whatever. And then you can move on to season two, where stuff gets really weird, and then you learn about the underground experiments on the ancient aliens or whatever. And then how that relates to the disappearance of the dad and stuff.
Yeah, I just
don't. I could do it. I could break this down.
Okay.
Give me a story clock. I'll turn this into three seasons in a snap.
All right. Well, you go ahead.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You write your Detective Pikachu Pokemon fan fiction TV series, and you let me know how that goes when you pitch out to Warner Brothers and Toho.
I don't. See, my worst fear would be that they would be like, that's great, let's make it. And then I would have to be involved in this intellectual property for longer than the duration of this one podcast here.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any risk of that happening. I mean, this movie made a ton of money. Are they making a sequel to this?
I don't want to look. Well, they wouldn't be doing it without Ryan Reynolds. So let's just go to Ryan Reynolds and look at actor. Deadpool 3 announced. Clue pre-production. Oh, my. Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. No. Of all the movies that don't need a sequel. Good Lord.
Let me see. I just think I beat you to the punch because there is a section on Wikipedia.org where it says sequel. Bracket, edit, bracket, separator. In January 2019, comma,
did you really have to read the
months
edit?
Ahead of the release of Detective Pikachu, comma, Legendary Entertainment announced that a sequel was already in development with Oren Uziel signed on as screenwriter. Period. Bracket. 100-117. Bracket. Bracket 118 bracket.
All right, those are called footnotes. We get it. I don't. Mm-hmm. Where is that section in here?
This section is the sequel, the very bottom.
Box office critical response accolade. Oh, there down underneath the accolades.
But it says sequel. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're looking at the table of contents, it's number 8.
Who looks sequel at that?
People who have a desktop browser. Because for some reason it's omitted from mobile.
Only nerds read the table of contents.
Okay, well, I mean, that's one way to find out whether or not there's a sequel. But I guess they're in development, which, whatever.
Great.
Like 14 years from now, they'll say that they're rebooting it, I guess. I don't know what they're doing. But
let's drop this guy's name at IMDb and see if he's got a date listed next to it. Oh, the Cloverfield Paradox guy also worked on 22 Jump Street. Great. Detective Pikachu 2 announced no date. He's also working on a Supergirl script.
Okay.
Along with something called The Lost City of D.
D is in D-D-I-C-K?
That would be my guess. I don't know.
Okay.
He also worked on the story for Mortal Kombat 2021.
Was there a story from Mortal Kombat 2021?
I mean, it's not out yet, right?
I mean,
April 16th.
Is it? Okay.
It's going to be great.
It could have been out in January. I don't know.
I mean, the trailer was.
Who can keep track of these things? But anyway, I don't know how they're going to really do with the sequel because the pretense of Detective Pikachu is ruined by the ending of this. Unless...
Right. Oh, and that's the other thing we didn't talk about. So Detective Pikachu is what, like, a fork of actual Pokemon? Like, somebody was just like, aha, I'm going to take this character and write a detective story. Do we know... Does the Detective Pikachu written property mirror the storyline here?
It's my loose understanding of this as someone who really does not know.
Video game. My apologies.
But it was like a spin-off video game thing made by contract developers, not the original people who were involved in this. And so it's not exactly the same thing as what's going on with everything else, which I think is why they had the freedom to go this route. But at the same time, how do you have Detective Pikachu 2? Does Mewtwo just show up at the beginning of the next movie and he's like, you're going to be transferred into the body of this Pikachu because I need you to do that for the course of this film. And I'll fix it.
Somebody's going to steal his power or whatever, and he's going to be like, I need your help to get my power back. It's, the world is at risk and stuff.
But he won't be a Detective Pikachu. He'll be a detective and a Pikachu. Detective, Pikachu.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's how they could spin it.
Detective, Pikachu.
Yeah, exactly. You can't reuse titles, but you want to be a little clever, you can call it Detective, Pikachu.
Yeah. Comma's important. Mm-hmm.
And the comma can actually be a subset 2 kind of looking thing if you want to get extra stupid with it.
Sure.
Put a hat on your comma?
Why limit this at this point? Not really worth summarizing the rest of this. He meets the kid meets a spunky intern and he's got a chip on his shoulder.
About the girl.
Yeah.
she works for, I don't know, the Daily Mail's TV show or whatever, and wants to be a real reporter and tries to crack a real story, and everyone's like, shut up and get me coffee. you young little whippersnapper. And then she's like, well, this is embarrassing. My future boyfriend, who I've met one time, is seeing me get berated by the CEO's son, or the founder of the city's son, who is now the CEO of the city, I guess, but also the news channel. So
yeah, he's like Lachlan Murdoch or whatever the other useless one's name is. I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. But that's only if like we live in like Fox News City or something.
God,
which I guess is, I don't know, what is it like, North Texas?
Well, I mean, don't we all kind of sort of live in Fox News City? Huh?
I mean, no. Anyway, so yeah, she's like, tell me about your father. He was on to something, but he disappeared. He's not dead. And the kid's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Here, lady, I'm just checking the mail to clean out my dad's apartment and stuff. And she's like, I'll see you later because this is not over. I have to go to work and stuff. And then he goes to her to ask for help later. And then they just like drive around and stuff. And then they go to the plant, which I don't know, like exploded like a week previously, and is suddenly is like, you know, the abandoned visitor center from Jurassic Park 1 in the midst of Jurassic World, and just in terms of like disarray. Actually, what it looks like is that level in Half-Life where you're like, oh, the lab has been destroyed, but there's still aliens and stuff here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, to your point, the level of disrepair seemed disproportionate to the amount of time that had elapsed. But
especially given the only thing that really happened was like there was a power surge and like it exploded when Mewtwo flew through the ceiling, right? Like it wasn't like all of the animals were freed from their cages and ran around eating all the scientists or something.
I mean, that could have happened. We don't know. That wasn't included in the full holographic recounting with Rita Ora.
They would just be like, ooh, well, let's patch that up and come back to work on Monday or whatever.
Yeah, well, I figure it would seem to me that you wouldn't just like leave all the Pokemon and the like pod things that they're in and stuff and just like wander off from the place. They have security cameras, but that's all that's really going on there. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But anyway, they, you know, have all the cliche stuff like, oh, there's slime falling from the ceiling. What could that be? And it's like, well, no, look up, dum-dum. Then the whole thing turns out to be Torterra whatever's, Torterra turtles, Torterra gons.
Oh, right, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and so all the forest is heaving and hoeing. And
our universe is just a marble in some alien's pocket.
Yeah, or in the back of a turtle. It's Torterra gons all the way down. And so they get out of that set piece eventually, and you know the Pikachu is injured by a rock to the head, and he has to appeal to a Bulbasaur to, you know, get it to help, and then it brings over all these other ones, and then they sort of like corral only the two of them over to go to this thing, and they go on this big trek where there's all these creatures coming around, like we're in a Miyazaki movie all of a sudden. And
And don't forget, like, he can't understand you, but he'll understand your heart. There's a lot of BS about heart in this, both with the, you know, transferring the heart from Ryan Reynolds to the Pikachu stuff. Yeah. But he's like, take us to a healer Pikachu, which I don't know what that is.
Healer Pokemon, not a healer Pikachu.
Whatever, you know what I mean.
Dr. Pikachu would be another good sequel to this.
Dr. Healer Pikachu MD. So all of the wild dumpling dinosaurs are like, follow us and we'll take you right into the trap where Mewtwo has been expecting you the whole time.
Yeah, well, they try to milk this for suspense and everything, but it's not
milk
that
my suspense.
Got suspense, Greg. Can you milk me? Anyway, so the
I want somebody to make that graphic.
they try to, you know, draw this whole thing, and then of course, you know, Mewtwo does this flashback, which conveniently is edited in a way that seems incriminating towards Pikachu and Mewtwo, is important because the sun, quote unquote, shows up and captures Mewtwo because he's distracted, and hauls him away. And then Justice Smith and Pikachu wander back to the car, which takes like 2 minutes compared to the like hours of wandering to get there, I guess. I don't know what they're trying to achieve in terms of time and in that dissolve montage of like forest creatures coming to aid them. But they have to part and go their separate ways because he's bad news. He, you know, can't you tell I'm no good for anybody, blah blah blah. And it's just like, do we need that story beat in here on top of everything else? Like, just layer it, just laying on top of everything else, just like a dead fish, just like a dead Magikarp. But they apparently have to do that. And so they split up, and Pikachu goes wandering down the road for hours, and then he goes back with What's-Her-Face to go talk to Bill Nighy and explain, you know, that the sun did all this bad stuff. And sure enough, they arrive in the city and they need to split up because she's got to warn people by using the news to news things. And he has to go to up to Bill Nighy's place, and he's walking past all these very suspicious balloons with all these tankers. And he finally gets to the top floor, and then Bill Nighy's like, "Oh, you dumb dumb. My floor will open now, and you will see all the stuff and my special headgear, and that I'm really a bad guy. And thank you for finding your dad so that you could really bring the thing to do the thing, blah 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 blah." Although he doesn't really say find his dad yet because they don't want to reveal that part. And so then Mewtwo is out of there, and instead of killing the kid immediately, he just kind of like knocks him around a little bit, and then he flies off to go do the stuff with the parade. It seems important to incapacitate the people who are near your incapacitated body,
you would think,
but you know, he's kind of
overconfident. This movie is for children who wouldn't realize that is a tactical advantage.
Right. And so he kind of gets up and hears the thing in the closet, and it turns out it's the sun, and that the person who was the sun is not really the sun. It was the Ditto that we saw in some of the other scene stuff that was happening.
I think her name is Dido.
Dido. And remember Dido? And so, I mean, the one good thing that this movie does in terms of weirdness and like pushing the weirdness premise is she takes the sunglasses and she's got those like cartoon eyes, which is very disturbing looking. It's very Roger Rabbit, Judge Doom kind of territory. So I appreciated that it went a little strange in terms of doing that. But, you know, it has like this pointless fight where it's taking forever, and you know that it's really just going to draw it out until the point where he can defeat the thing so that he can finally take the headgear thing off at some point. It's just eventually going to happen, and we just got to get there.
Yeah, and when they start, when Mewtwo and Pikachu start plummeting to the ground after he pulls the headgear off, you know that Mewtwo is going to like rescue Pikachu, but I thought like he was going to put the headgear on and fly Mewtwo around for a minute to save Pikachu, but instead he's just like, "Oh no, I got to run down there real fast and see what happened." And
that elevator is surprisingly quick from the top floor.
It was very fast. It's almost in free fall.
I don't know how he survived the elevator trip down.
Like you would get the bends from the decompression.
Yeah, I mean, he's a ridiculously tall tower, and he's just there instantly in the amount of time that it took them to fall there. But you know, Mewtwo comes back to his senses before, or back to their senses. I'm not really sure what Mewtwo's gender is in this, but Mewtwo comes back to their senses and rescues Pikachu, and is just like, you know, the rest of this missing piece of this memory puzzle is that, you know, you were really the father all along, blah, 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 blah. You know, something that would have been important to just, like, fix initially instead of the weirdly edited memories of how it was incriminating. But whatever.
I was just about to say, Pikachu is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
It's probably blasphemous.
It is.
To Pokemon fans.
I mean, I think probably to a wider audience than that. Don't limit yourself, Dan.
which audience do you think is wider?
Catholicism or Pokemon fans?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go with Pokemon fans.
Yeah, I think yeah. Pokemon.
I think there's some overlap.
I'm sure there's probably some overlap. Mm-hmm. Everything's overlapping these days.
Yeah, but, then the movie is just like, aha, we fixed everything. Everything's fine. And then
everything's back to normal. And then Ryan Reynolds is like, I'm a human again. You better get the hell out of here, kid. Go home to your grandma. And then the kid's like, can I stay with you? In a line reversal from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. And it throws away the train ticket.
Which, like, go get a refund. What the hell, kid? Like, train tickets aren't free.
I don't really understand that scene. It seems so obvious that he would want to spend time with his dad after the course of events that have occurred in this movie, that to have a fake out of I have a return ticket to go home, like, what is it you're trying to reveal there, that he's made inroads and he wants to talk to his dad? It's like, of course he wants to talk to his dad. We just spent the whole movie with his dad.
Yeah.
Neither one of them knew it. And now that they know it, don't they want to like talk about it more than just like get on a train?
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot left unsaid.
He's going to either, cash in his vacation days or quit his insurance job and become the son... Son of Pikachu.
Well, he said he wants to be a detective or something, I think, is one of the last things he says. And, yeah, and it's just like,
wouldn't the sequel be called Son of Detective, Pikachu?
I don't know why he necessarily needs to make the jump to being a detective, because it's not like they don't have insurance in this city. He can still do his old job. He doesn't need to change everything about his life and who he is.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's working remotely these days, too.
Yeah, yeah.
What's an insurance adjuster need? Like a phone and a laptop, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just truly do not understand some of the links that they try to go to in this movie in order to like set up these weird sort of obstacles for Justice Smith's character of Tim Goodman. It is odd. Just like, I don't know. Treat them more like a human being and have them react to situations more like a human being would. I think that'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
I like the kid as an actor.
Yeah, you know, I like Justice Smith. Catherine Newton wasn't doing a lot for me when she was trying to overplay her hand as Lucy Stevens, CNN reporter. But when she turned out to be a unpaid intern. I thought things were a little more interesting with like when they were doing the lab stuff and whatever, yeah, and stuff at the end of the film.
Also, you're just making me realize that CMN is a pretty unfortunate series of call letters.
Is it something I'm supposed to know?
No, you just said it fast and it sounded like a different word.
Oh. Oh boy. Well,
I don't know if that's from the original source material or not, but
now I am flush with embarrassment. So yeah,
dear.
I don't know. And then, you know, in terms of casting for the rest of this, like, blech, whatever. Bill Nighy, I think, you know, this has got to be one of those like I got a paycheck out of it roles for him, unless he's got like grandkids who are like super into Pokemon.
Yeah, that's what really I was gonna say. He's probably got a relative somewhere who's like, yeah, I love the Pokemon. He's like, well, I should be in the movie then, so they always remember me.
And as I previously established, poor Kent Watanabe. That's just so sad. Should have been more. Should have given him more things.
Mm-hmm. He was a sad, downtrodden, beaten down cop detective.
Yeah, yeah.
With a fuzzy purple dog.
Ryan Reynolds was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They should have just let him be a character named Ryan Reynolds.
No. I mean, he's got to be Harry Goodman. It's a totally normal, appropriate name
for your
protagonist.
Harry Goodman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. Omar Chaparro as the Sebastian, the Pokemon trainer, who runs the Secret Rhyme City Pokemon Battle Arena and is accompanied by Charizard. He was interesting for 2 seconds, but that was all we got of him. I liked all the lines that they gave Ryan Reynolds in terms of like talking to him, you know, like, doesn't this guy own a shirt, and you know, all the nipple stuff. But they, you know, they didn't really have a whole lot of other characters in this.
No.
Now, controversial question we should get into, since we spent so much time last time talking about the design of things and how you integrate a very cartoony design into a realistic environment. What the F did you think was going on with this movie? Because I felt like the designs of things were all over the map.
Oh, you mean the various characters?
Yeah, I felt like the characters were quite different from one another, and yeah. I felt like the integration of things, especially the background characters and a lot of the wider shots of the city, they left a lot to be desired. And
got these extremely bright colored cartoon characters that they're not gonna like desat and grime them up to like make them look realistic. They're just gonna let them be nuclear colors because that's what the kids want to see.
Yeah, no, and you know, you just like put Mr. Mime in your movie and you just give him a lot of subsurface scattering. Sure, and put him under a light so he just sort of evokes Pennywise the clown from It. Like I don't know what they were thinking with that particular thing that they were doing. Like, I understand the comedy of what they were trying to go for there, but just in terms of like seeing that as a character on screen with eyes that was looking into your soul, like, I feel like that missed the mark, and didn't sit in with everything else at all.
Yeah, all the characters were looked at like by themselves, not together, and not like in a scene where with lighting so you could see what they all looked like together. Yeah, there was definitely differences, and part of it almost felt like they used all their render cycles on Pikachu's hair, so maybe the dumpling dinosaurs don't quite get as much detail or work as some of the other ones.
Well, my suspicion is that work was broken up between the various facilities that worked on this film, but I don't know in what ways. Because I know that NPC handled our hero Pokemon of Pikachu, but I don't know exactly what fell specifically to NPC for all of the shots. I would assume Psyduck and, you know, the other various things that interacted heavily in the foreground. But in some of those like wider shots where they're showing like randos on the street and the Pokemon partners that each of those randos has, I don't know who's necessarily doing that and integrating those. And there didn't seem to be as wide of a variety of Pokemon as one might expect. In a lot of these wide shots of the civilians of the city, you'd often see like the same one over and over and over again, with various people, and just like maybe one in between that was a different kind in order to sort of like break it up.
Yeah, you get the big buff guy things in the city stuff.
Yeah, what
those are called
the Flareons or whatever, the little fox dog things. You'd have a couple of those clustered together, the ones that look like birds with two heads. And
right.
And speaking of birds, the opening shots of this where they have those birds that fly by, but they don't really fly. They just sort of float across this landscape on a curve that they're animated on. I hated that. They didn't animate those to seem like they had any gravity to them or weight. And if you're trying to make your cartoon thing sit in a real world, like, try to make it seem like it weighs something. Also, the black levels on them were busted when it goes over the flare. And I know they tried to do something to it, but they didn't quite match it. So, you know,
you got a lot of big company names on here too. You got NPC, you got Framestore, who else?
Image Engine.
You got Rodeo Image Engine. Yeah. Legend 3D, is that stereo conversion?
Stereo conversion, yeah.
Yeah.
The third floor would be pre-viz.
Right.
And sometimes post-viz, which is a fancy way of saying blocking in stuff for our edits, I guess. I don't know. It's
Oh, and before we forget, we can just get right out of the way and say the fact that this was shot on film and anamorphic is stupid and probably just made everyone's lives more difficult and painful.
Well, according to an interview I read at Befores and Afters from our mutual friend Ian Fales, VFX supervisor said that it helped because, you know, you put a little green on everything and it just sits right in.
Well, there were a couple of close-up shots of Mr. Detective Pikachu where you're like, wow, that's a lot of grain.
Yeah. Well, because there were a lot of darkly exposed, like, you know, noir-esque lit.
Yeah, but he's bright yellow, and I'm like, I can see a lot of grain. And then they tilt up to Tim, and I'm like, that's not the same grain on his skin tone there. I guess maybe fur has more grain.
They needed, they probably also had what I would call sampling noise, which is not the same thing as grain.
And right. they just put some grain on top of the sampling noise to make the sampling noise look more like grain, and you're like, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, and for people who are like, what's sampling noise? Well, you see when you ray trace a character, and it's covered in fur, and each of those little rays hits a little thing of fur, or it doesn't hit a little thing of fur, and then it samples whether or not it hit the thing of fur. If you don't do a lot of samples, you wind up with inconsistent results frame to frame, especially for what got that little ray hit and what didn't. And when it all evens out in terms of like trying to have like a what seems like an evenly lit scene with soft shadows, what seems like it should be a consistent light across the entire surface will wind up having little tiny shimmery little dots all over inside the fur. And so your Pikachus and your Jigglypuffs and your Psyducks, even though that's feathers, is the same sort of problem. And I thought Psyduck looked especially grimy. And then the pupils were weird.
Especially grimy. The grain was interesting. I mean, and again, whatever. If you want to shoot anamorphic and you want to shoot film for certain reasons, that's fine. But as we've talked about in previous episodes, but we should probably talk about in the episode where we're actually talking about Detective Pikachu, was the DP or the director on this film who was talking about how their movie's going to look so much better than Sonic because they shot on film. So that means that it's all going to work out better, which is complete and utter nonsense and has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't matter if you shot on digital or film, period, but especially doesn't matter if you shot on digital or film. If you're integrating CG, that's not a thing. Stop talking about it. You're just silly.
I'm not sure. I think it was potentially the cinematographer, John Matheson, who's at least according to this Wikipedia thing, the film cinematographer, John Matheson, noted that like his other films, Detective Pikachu was shot on traditional film, which is, I think, funny. Traditional film, like in the olden days, like the Pilgrims used, in contrast to most other contemporary films, which are
IMDb
shot digitally.
IMDb lists the Kodak Vision stock, if we want to talk about how traditional it is.
Yeah. A stock that did not exist prior to a certain period in time.
Vision 350D. Good Lord, man. Well, 500D, 500T and 50D were his stocks. That's just silly.
Well, I'm surprised he didn't use the 800T.
Do they have an 800T?
I thought they had an 800T. But
500 is pretty common, but like to mix 50 and 500, like, you know, no wonder there was inconsistent grain. Geez.
Well, you mean you'd want to use the 50D for your daylight shots?
I wouldn't shoot 50. I would shoot something like 100 or even more, and then you can, you know, stop down if you need to use NDs to make up for that. But
I guess, I mean, the outdoor stuff that they shot in, I don't know, Colorado or whatever it was, you know, it's sunny and stuff. It's not jarring to me that they changed film stocks from those scenes to the other scenes, because it's not like they really abutted each other in a sense that the character.
Oh, sure. It just seems impractical for those to be your two film stock options.
Well, maybe he used something else and it's just not written down on IMDb. It's
maybe,
not exactly,
but
like
IMDb is the source of all knowledge in this podcast.
I don't know. Wikipedia.org is also the other source.
Well, what does Wikipedia say the negative format is?
It doesn't, because it doesn't have that kind of information, Dan.
Well, there you
go. It just talks about traditional film.
Yeah, 2:39:1.
Yeah. Well, see, that's important, because this film's just like Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, so CinemaScope, just as God intended, your weightless birds to float across screen. And yeah,
maybe they could have worried a little less about the film and a little bit more about some of the other stuff. I mean, honestly, who cares? Like, the CG stuff is great compared to the story, frankly.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah. In
order of operations, in terms of stuff to need to fix, story is the first 10 line items before you even get down to, like, the actual technical stuff.
Yeah, and I think while we were commenting on these technical things that we did like about, you know, some of this other stuff and the philosophical whatevers about film versus digital, it is funny to me that we can sort of talk about that separate from the goodness that is the Detective Pikachu character, because I feel like they really succeeded on making the lead character work in a way that, despite all of the bad writing and questionable choices surrounding it and other things that Detective Pikachu character needs to interact with, the actual character itself is charming, and, you know, you want to see it on screen and you want to see good things happen to it and it to do, you know, more stuff. So I feel like that's a success of the film, despite the other stuff, like the Mr. Mimes and the whatevers that are, you know, just sort of detract, but they don't detract enough that it really takes away from your main character being adorable.
Mm-hmm. Like the big random thing on the train that just licked him, because why not?
Ugh. Unnecessary.
Yeah. Whatever. I guess he made a lot of money, so the movie wasn't unnecessary. But I didn't need to see this. I don't know why I watched parts of this, probably because it was on and I was drinking on a Friday night or something. But now we've watched it. I mean, at least we didn't have to pay for it, I guess.
I think that was probably one of the motivating factors behind why we watched it.
Yeah.
Also,
you know, we just talked about Sonic, so.
Yeah, the thematic similarity of your video game character movie thing in the real world thing.
Plus, you know, like we said, the DP already drew a line in the sand and picked a fight with Sonic prior to the movie coming out. So
for no reason.
I guess which movie made more money? I feel like this one probably made more money because IP is stronger.
This made a bucket of money.
Cumulative worldwide gross $433 million. That's
a budget of $150 million. So it had a higher budget, but it also had a way higher box office.
What was the budget box office for Sonic? Do you remember?
I don't remember off the top of my head. It's surprising as that might be.
You're Mr. Numbers, Mr. Box Office, so I expect you to know these things. Budget of 85, cumulative worldwide 319, so not bad.
I mean,
almost half the budget, and, you know, like 100 and some million less, but...
Did you say 95?
85.
85, okay. Well, a little more than half. But
well, more than half.
Yeah, I mean, it's relative, you know.
Mm-hmm. I will watch Sonic a million times more than I will ever watch this movie.
I will watch neither a million more times.
At least Sonic has a spaceship that doesn't go to space, but well, I guess through a parallel dimension thing.
Is that supposed to be enticing?
Yeah, you like space.
I just couldn't figure out if you're saying that in order to like convince me to watch the movie again.
It's gotta have space for it to be a Joe approved movie.
No, that's not,
you should get a big rubber stamp that says space and just go bam. Stamped space.
Yes. Well, I don't really consider that movie to have passed that space test then.
Yeah. But not a lot of stars. It's not just the space. You got to have the stars also.
Yes. Well.
You ever like write a love note to a movie that says, do you space me? Yes, no. Check the box.
Yes. Damn.
That was too many references and jokes on top of each other. So on that note, we should stop talking about this movie.
All right. And on that note, I undo the damage that this movie has caused you. And
yeah,
you're now a small yellow dog cat thing.
Circle, circle, dot, dot.
And now you've got the Pikachu shot.
Exactly. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.